So we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, for this beautiful day, which is the day of all days, when you were born for our sake. We thank you, Jesus, that we know something of that mystery in our hearts and can celebrate it with great joy. We praise your name. So we heard the message to the angels, do not be afraid, there is good news. In the town of David, a child has been born. He is the Saviour, Christ the Lord. How wonderful it is to celebrate this day. And certainly it's about the baby, isn't it? God became a baby. How about that? Something about that that tells us of the heart of God. It's wonderful to pick up a baby, isn't it? I get a bit of a lift out of that when someone gives me their child and let the little baby snuggle against my shoulder. You get something about that. And then the baby smiles at you and you think, oh, how wonderful. And Mum says, oh, it's just the burping. But no, it's really the smile. Smiling at me and winning me by that smile. And then grabs hold of my little finger, doesn't let go. So much does he love me. Children have a way, babies have a way of winning us and melting our hearts. So something of the way God came to us. He could have come in many different shapes and forms. He came as a baby to win our hard hearts, because we live in a world where everything's pressure, everything's go-getter, try and win, get to the top, and make yourself something or someone before others. Be a celebrity. And here's the little baby, just innocent and defenseless and dependent and gentle and soft, and seeking to allow our hearts to be less driven, less captured by the spirit of the world, the desire for wealth and power and status and all of that, that we can allow ourselves to become who we really are in God. So something of that is being communicated to us tonight through the truth that God became a baby to win us by love. He didn't come to force us, bringing arms that he could have done and to win the victory over our hearts, as it were, try to, by forcing us into something. But he came to win us by love. He came to persuade our hardened hearts so that we melt. Just as you melt, you can't help but melting when you have a baby in your arms. It melts the hardened person. I remember once this guy, a big, tough character, you know, and he had sort of tattoos all over him and, you know, real gruff and everything like that. And we're in this company. I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, I'll steer clear of him. Then someone handed him a baby. It was all coo, 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 oh, coochie, coochie, coo. The transformation that comes through the innocence and gentleness of a child. Huh? And God is speaking to us tonight that he wants to meet each one of us that way. So there's nothing to be afraid of. A child has been born for us. And he is God. He is Christ, the Saviour, come for each one of us to affirm us in our worth and our dignity, and to help us to be free from all that captivity to the world's expectations of how you have to be. You've got the right clothes, you've got to have the right sort of facial stuff or whatever. I don't know what you do these days, but like all the right hairdos and look good before others and then perform well before others. And Jesus is saying, be yourself. I love you as you are. No, you're mine. And I'm here for you. And allow our hearts to melt a bit. Allow ourselves to be won over by his love. I've just been in Bethlehem. It's wonderful to be able to say that, isn't it? And I kissed the very place where Jesus was born, where it's been revered for centuries anyway, that's where he was born. But to get to Bethlehem from Jerusalem, you have to go through checkpoints. And you have to go through this big wall that's as high as this church that's been built to separate out people groups out of fear, prejudice, hatred maybe. A wall's there. And we, of course, were able to go through the wall. Others can't. They're kept on the other side of the wall. But it's interesting, on the wall, someone has painted a very beautiful, huge icon of the Blessed Virgin, very similar to the one over there, holding the child Jesus. And then someone else, I think, painted a huge dragon facing the woman and the child. And you know the story from Revelations, huh? That when the woman gave birth to the child, there was this huge dragon there, ready to devour the child. But God lifted the child up to the heavenly place, and the woman was taken out into the desert for protection. And it's telling us that the child had the victory over the dragon. The dragon being, of course, all that the evil of the world can produce. God had the victory. And God will ultimately have the victory over that wall too. Because as John Paul II said, what God is about and what we as humanity need to be about, consequently, is not building walls, but building bridges. And allowing the walls to come down, just as truly as the Berlin Wall fell, so will that wall too, in time. Because it won't prevail over the power of love. It's love that wins in the end, huh? It's love that's been won for us by Jesus, who came to reconcile us and to bring peace. And this day especially, we pray for peace in the world. Peace in the Middle East, peace in that region especially, I was just speaking about in Palestine. Peace everywhere. Peace in the hearts of you and I, who can be bearers of peace to others. So we celebrate the humility of our God. Humility of our God. He did not cling to his equality. Jesus did not cling to his equality with the Father, but he emptied himself. Emptied himself, becoming like us in all things but sin. Isn't it wonderful that God is like us? God took on human flesh, hands like me and body like me. Probably a better body than mine, but like, eyes like me, and hair. How wonderful it is that God became like us in all things but sin, took on our flesh. And in that he's saying, I want to be part of you. I want to be with you fully and completely. So that now we can say one of us is God. But you see, God is big. God is huge. God is awesome and wonderful. So how is it that he took this step? When he did it, he wasn't sort of saying, I'm no longer big, I'm no longer great. Because God, he is not little. And neither does he feel little. But he became little, made himself little for our sake. How wonderful is that? So that we could learn that we too don't have to sort of make ourselves falsely big before others and be a big man, a big woman pushing others around and shoving them here and shoving them there. or looking down upon people as being superior to the other, even in the moral way. No, we learn from what God has done and how he has come to us, how we are to be with one another, that we're to make ourselves little before one another, to be servants of one another, to take the lower place rather than take a higher place and look down on everybody else as being more superior to them. But I become like God's by entering into his humility before others. And how wonderful it is too that this mystery speaks to us of God's solidarity with the poor, with those that are least, those that are looked upon and scorned maybe, those who are looked upon as the least of all, those who are not held in high esteem, those who maybe are on the fringes of a society. And we heard in the gospel, didn't we, that Mary and Joseph, with the child to come, unable to find a place. So like the homeless, huh? Like those who have been rejected, people seeking to come, refugees, to a country like ours. Those that are being shut out. Those that don't have a place to be one with them. You know, in a stable, born that way, in a feeding trough for animals. This is our God. To be one with those that are rejected and overlooked and spurned in the society. It was beautiful, wasn't it? And I'm sure most of you would have seen this, maybe, in the electronic media one way or another, where a man named Vincentius, second name was Riva, got it, Vincentius Riva, he was unfortunately born with a genetic deformity, a disfigurement, where his whole body was for all sorts of sores and swellings and growths of one kind or another. It looked horrible, absolutely horrible. And as he was growing up, he was obviously someone that people would run away from, or they would just shun. He tells the story that he went into a bus one day and sat down next to a man. The man said, "Get away from me. I can't stand you. I don't want you anywhere near me." And nobody lifted a finger to him. So he was disgraced and humiliated because of his condition. It's not an infectious disease at all, but it looks very ugly from our perspective. So anyway, why I'm speaking about him is because he was in a line approaching the Pope, Pope Francis in Rome. And the Swiss guards actually sort of promoted him up and put him right up so that the Pope would definitely meet him. And he was trembling as the Pope came. And without any hesitation, without a moment of thinking, the Pope just simply embraced him and kissed him. Went right in there. And he said at that moment, he just quivered over his whole body. He felt a warmth go through himself that he has never known before. And a sense of his own worth and dignity, his own value. He said, "The whole weight was lifted from me in that moment. Because now I knew I was worthwhile." So beautiful. So beautiful. And this is the story of Jesus. This is who Jesus is. That's why he came, to be in solidarity with those that are most on the fringes of the society. The first ones to actually hear the good news that Christ was born were the shepherds. And shepherds in those days were fringe dwellers in society. They were looked upon as second-grade people living with their sheep. But they were the ones that God came to. And all the heavenly choirs were there, crying out, you know, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to all people of goodwill." They were the ones who heard the good news first. And they were the ones who responded and were there adoring Jesus, the Christ child, full of love, because God comes to the poor. He comes to the weak and the broken. And that's where he wants us to be too. And here at St. Benedict's, we certainly seek to do that. We seek to be very open to all and to invite all to our assembly. No one is to be excluded because of what they look or how they smell or whether they make too much noise or whatever. That everyone is called into the heart of God here. That's certainly how we want to be in our own personal lives, huh? We want to be like that, that beautiful embracing of that man by the Pope, showing us how we are to be church, showing us how we are to be in union with Jesus in these days. So let's pray at this Christmas time, our hearts will be melted by the Christ child. Our hearts will be opened. Where we've become somewhat harsh and judgmental and vicious maybe in our speech or in our actions towards others, we'll be touched by the love of God. Jesus will live more within us and we'll be more like him for others. Let's pray too that at this time we'll find a way that our hearts could become more generous towards those who may be spurned and looked down upon by others, but we'll lift them up as it truly would be for the heart of God. So let's welcome Christ our Saviour. Yes, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. We have news of great joy because in the town of David, the town of Bethlehem, a child has been born for us. And he is Christ the Saviour, who will bring peace, who will tear down the barriers that hold us separated in this broken world, who will bring peace to our broken hearts when we've felt not worth anything, without any dignity or purpose in our lives and any significance, because he took on our human flesh, and in that he affirmed every human being created in the image and likeness of God. He affirmed you and your worth and your dignity. Yes, we have good news. Christ, is our Saviour, is born for us. God has come. And now one of us is God. And so we all are taken in and through him into the mystery of God, the wonder and beauty of God. And we're all taken more deeply into the self-appreciation of who we really are in God. And bless his name.